thank the Lord this morning for his blessings, his mercy to us. Thank the Lord for everyone that is here. The Lord gave us a message this week, and he brought the song to our mind. Will you go with us? Will you go with us to heaven? And he began to talk to me about that subject. Will you go with us? Will you go with us? So we want to start at Luke 18:28-30. It says, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. So the question is, will you go with us? Will you go with us and leave behind some of the things in this earth that are most comforting to us? It's not talking about literally leaving them, although there was times back in those days where they had to run, they had to hide, they weren't able to take their families or anything with them, they weren't able to see their families, they were on the run, they were after them, they were trying to kill them, and down through the time of the martyrs, it was the same way. So it's not talking about in a mean way, I have nothing to do with you anymore, I'm going to only serve the Lord and isolate myself like a monk. That isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about, are you going to love me more than all these others? Am I going to be the most important? Am I going to be the one? Are you going to follow me? You know, and here we are as the children of God going through this life. And this is what we're endeavoring to do. Yeah. And we ask those around us all the time, will you go with us? Will you go with us? Now, they might be looking at our lives and they might be feeling like, I don't know if I want to go there. But the question is still, will you go with us? Matthew 5:10-12. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's a reward waiting out there for those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a reward. There's many persecutions in this earth. Many persecutions. And they don't have anything to do with righteousness. It's just evilness. Yeah. But when we're persecuted because we're righteous, because we're trying to do the right thing, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When these kind of things happen, rejoice, it says, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We have a reward that we've got our eyes on the end of at the goal. Many people put a lot of store in having goals, and I want to have this goal, and by this time next year I want to reach this goal, and I want to do this. Our goal is to make it to heaven. Because we have lived long enough in the world to find out there is nothing there that helps me. And lived long enough for the Lord to realize that all of our help and all of the things that are good in life are contained in Him. Amen. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Be exceeding glad and rejoice. When these bad things are happening, why? Because that's how they persecute the righteous. They don't persecute those that have a false profession. They don't persecute them and say and bring all manner of accusations against them when they're just barely, you know, trying to say that I'm a Christian or I'm saved or I'm this, and they're not having anything in their life that brings conviction in any way. They don't persecute. They don't have persecutions. It's the ones that are truly trying to live right. Those are the ones that are persecuted. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? Because if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you can relax and say, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
There's some persecution involved here. That's why we should be exceeding glad, because we're counted worthy to do just like he did in this earth. He said, will you go with us? Will you go with us through the persecution? It's not always easy. In the day of the martyrs, it wasn't easy for them to say, will you go with us? Because it meant death. In many countries today, it means death. You convert to Christianity, it's death for you. Death from your family, death if they catch you on the streets, death. They have the right to kill you. And they won't even get in trouble with their government at all. What a sad, sad thing, isn't it? We're supposed to be exceeding glad, though. Do you know that those ones that are in those countries, they are still turning to Christianity? They're still doing that. Even though they're facing death. Why? Because they are reaching for a greater reward than what you get in this life. This life doesn't hold much. If you've been alive for very long at all, you find out that there are so many disappointments. That you go along for just so long, and then a disappointment comes. And then you might get over that one, and you go so far, and another one comes. We've learned that. This is life. This is what we tell our children. We tell them, hey, this is just life.
Mm-hmm.
What do we tell them? Get used to it. This is life. They come home from their first job and they say, they're not treating me right there. They're making me do all the dirty jobs and this and that. We say, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to it. Who's ever low man on the totem pole is always going to get the worst.
That's right.
That's the way it is. Oh, Lord, help us. Will you go with us? Are you going to go with us in that? It says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. See, this is what Jesus did. It says he suffered without the gate, which means when they say without the gate, they're talking about outside the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. They took him outside and crucified him out on a hill, not very far away from Jerusalem, actually. From the walls of the city, but he suffered without the gate. They took him out there. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let's do the same thing. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. See, here we have no continuing city. We have nothing that protects us. The walls of Jerusalem were put around it to protect it, and there was supposed to be some form of a feeling of security to be within the city walls, to be within where the guards and soldiers and different ones were placed here and there. It was supposed to be a place of security. But for the Christian, there's no continuing city here. Even for the sinner, there's no continuing city here. There's no comfort here. There's nothing here that's going to help you and protect you and keep you. Not in this world. Not in this life. There's too much evil and too much sin and too many things going on. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. See, we're seeking for something better than here. Oh, people waste their whole lives seeking for things here. They seek and they seek and they seek. We're not even talking about rich people. We're talking about just your everyday person. And they're storing up for their retirement, storing up. And they think, when I retire, I'm going to have this much money, and I'm going to have this. And then some higher up, high-level, white-collar crime person steals all that money from that fund that they were counting on for their retirement. Or I read on the news the other day, a woman lost $40,000 from a scam just recently in the last few weeks. Lost all of her savings to a scam. Oh, people work hard to try to store up and store up. But you know what? We're not looking for that here. We're looking for that city. We're looking for something better. We're looking for something that doesn't fade away and that doesn't go away and that lasts forever.
Yeah.
In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 13 through 16, this is the faith chapter. You want to read about faith. It talks about all faith of every, all the ones that went before us. And starting at the 13th verse, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Why? Because they were told about a place. They were told about a place that they could go to live with God. And they gave up all of the things that have to do with here. They were looking for something better. They were just strangers and pilgrims here. Mm-hmm. Just passing through. We pass through a country, we don't go there to stay. When we visit a country, we don't go to stay. When we visit a country many times, we don't pay any attention to their politics. We don't even know what's going on there. We don't know what their laws are, what they aren't. You know, we just try to be good and stay within, you know, what is reasonable for people to do. There are some places that have some strange laws that you could get in trouble if you didn't know. But we're not looking to stay. See, we're not looking to stay there. We're just passing through. That's what this world is. We're just passing through. And then there is an eternity out there. An eternity. So are you going to go with us to this eternity? Are you going to treat this world like we're just passing through and not set down all your hopes and all your dreams and what's going to happen here? Are you going to go with us? It says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." They're looking for something different. We're looking for something different.
Yeah.
We found out that here doesn't satisfy.
No.
But we have found out in the Lord we can be satisfied even though we're stuck here for the moment. We're stuck here. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." You know, all of us here that are living for the Lord, we have opportunity to return to the other side every day.
Right.
You can turn around and go back. You have those opportunities, but we don't take them. Why don't we take them? Because we found out what's really there and what's really important. And none of it matters. None of it matters. All that matters is where we're going to go after death. That's what matters. Because see, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. But then what? Then what? Oh, we know what's coming tomorrow, basically. We know that tomorrow's going to look pretty much like today. And we might have some more trials or some worse trials, but it's still going to look pretty much like today. This is what we know. But there's a time coming when there is a long, long, long eternity that never ends. And we don't know what that looks like. But we have found out here isn't the answer. So will you go with us? Will you go with us to eternity? "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city." He's prepared something for us. And God's not ashamed to be called their God. Do you know that there is sometimes that God is actually ashamed by the way that people live, and they say, "I believe in God. I'm living for God," and the shameful way that they live, God is not happy with that. We are not what God wants us to be when we're all involved in what happens down here, and that's more important to us than reaching out and searching and going after that city that he prepared for us.
Yeah,
a place that we're going to go. It says, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is talking about our bodies. This is talking about our earthly bodies. These bodies are flesh and blood. This is our tabernacle. You know what a tabernacle was? It was a tent. It was a temporary place. Do you know that your body is a temporary place for your spiritual man, your spiritual soul to live? It's temporary. It's a tabernacle. It's just a tent. There's going to come a day when the tent dies. And then your spiritual man is going to be set loose. And it needs a home. It has to have a place to go. It says, we look for a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We're looking for a house there. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. What is our house? It's our new body. Jesus walked this earth in a resurrected body. He was resurrected. He was the first fruits. He was the first one to come back in that way. A first one to receive his spiritual body, his redeemed body, his resurrected body. He was the first one to get that. He was the first fruits, it says. And he did marvelous things here. There were things that he did with that body. He appeared through walls, traveled distances that were not the norm. He ate. He did lots of things. And at the end, at the very end, standing out in the country with his disciples, he rose up off the ground and disappeared into the clouds. That's what he did with his resurrected body. And we're going to get one. We're going to get one. If we live for him here, if we do what is right and just, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Aren't we burdened?
Yeah.
We're burdened with our tabernacle.
Yeah.
It wears out. It doesn't act right sometimes. It gets injured. It gets sick. This body is a trial to us. And it's a trial to some of us more than others.
Yeah.
But it's a trial. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality. I want you to see this last statement here. That mortality, that means mortal, that means that it can die. Mortality, it's talking about death. It's only mortal for so long and then it dies. It says that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Oh, it makes you think that this is not very much life here. Because this is all going to be swallowed up. And then after mortality ends, then we're going to be, that's going to be swallowed up of what real life is. The kind of life that God has.
Yeah.
See, eternity, the kind of life that goes on and on, perpetual and never ends. See, we're looking for that country. We're going there.
Yeah.
Will you go with us? Will you go with us? Oh, we invite everybody we know, don't we? We talk to them over and over. You need God. And you know what they think? They don't look at the future. They don't look at life and what it will be afterwards. They don't even want to think about that. They completely ignore it. They don't even want to think about it. Nobody wants to think about death. They completely ignore it. But you know what they think about? They think about, well, but, you know, in order to live for God, there's some things I'm doing that I know I can't do if I live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're choosing that little bit that they have. They're choosing it over this life that goes on and on and on. We don't want to go with them. We don't want to go with them. That's why when people invite us and they say, oh, you know, don't you want to come here? Don't you want to go with us over here? We're going to have such a good time. We're going to have this and that. We have no desire to go there.
No, not at all.
Lord, help us. Will you go with us past death into a real life? This is just a temporary life, a temporary body, a tent. It's just temporary place for the soul. Is it going to last? Will you go with us into real life? Real life. This is not real life. Real life, where God is. The one that created life in us. The part of us that is alive is going to live on forever. When God created it, it cannot die. You are going to live on forever. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? And we spend a lot of time trying to figure out where we're going to live. We have a couple here that are looking to, they're buying a house now. They've made some plans. They're going to live somewhere. We've all done this. Figured out where we're going to live, and if we have to move, and where we're going to live next, and then how we're going to fix it up, and all those things. We worry about a lot about that. But are you worried about the right thing? Because this is all going away.
Yes.
And that part of you that God created that is never going to die. What God created in you is never going to die. It's going to live somewhere. It's going to go on. Oh, there's people that find great comfort in, and they have made up their minds that there's just nothing after death. After death, it's just nothing. You don't know anything. You don't remember anything. It's all gone. Nothing. Just blankness. It's not true. The soul, the God-given part of us, can live on forever. It says, nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens. Oh, wait a minute. Skip number 12. Maybe I skipped number 11. I can't remember now. Oh, I haven't started on the scripture yet. Lord, help me. I moved my paper already. The next scriptures are 2 Peter 3, 10 through 14. And this just describes exactly what we're holding so dear here. What we want and hold on to so dearly, and what we think is the most important thing, and we need to see what God thinks about it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. All that's above us, all the heavens, everything we see, the universe, the planets, the suns, the stars, the moons, everything, just going to pass away. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This was a temporary, we have a temporary tabernacle that we live in, which is our body, made out of clay. And we have a temporary place that we're living. It's just temporary. It's not very long. For some, it's very short. For others, it can be very long. But in the scheme of things, when you look at that it's never going to die, it's just a grain of sand. Our whole life. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, seeing then that all this that we count so wonderful, so great, that we strive for, and we strive for this, and we strive for that. And you know, most of us, we're not striving for nature and being nature and all things that God created. We're not striving to enjoy the best foods that he created. No. We're striving for all the things that men have made here to take up our time. We're striving for all the foods that men have made that are not good for us. That's what we're striving. We're not striving really even while we're here for the best things that are here. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and goodness? This is to us that are saved. Seeing that all this is going away. If it was all going away tomorrow, if there was a big hand that came in the sky and says, tomorrow is the end, I don't think the Gilberts are going to go and try to buy the house. You know what I'm saying? It won't matter. I don't think whatever we had planned for tomorrow, we wouldn't even be going to work. We wouldn't do anything. I can tell you what, we wouldn't be doing any of the earthbound things. But I'll tell you what we would be doing. We'd be praying. We'd be calling all of our relatives. We'd be saying, it's going to end. You've got to get ready. We'd be praying with as many souls as we could pray. We'd be preaching in the streets. There would be people everywhere going about, rushing about. And do you know, in the midst of all of that, there would be those that would be skeptics and unbelievers. And they would go ahead and go to work. And they would go ahead and do this. And they would go in the grocery shop for a whole week. Why? Because their minds are all caught up here. Instead of worrying about where this inner man, this soul, is going to live forever. Because see, it's living forever. It was created by God. It's not going to die. It's not going to die. He breathed into our nostrils and made us a living soul. He had already created the animals. They were already breathing. But he didn't breathe life. The living soul. He didn't breathe the living soul into their nostrils. He breathed into Adam, into his nostrils to become a living soul. And that living soul cannot die. Cannot. It says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. See, there's a way that you have to live here in order to be part of the new heavens and the new earth. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about the heavenly city, the kingdom, the place where God lives, the new heavens and the new earth. Don't you know that he patterned what he made here in the physical, he patterned it over some of the things that were in his kingdom. He patterned it. I don't know which. I don't know what parts. But he patterned it. Because he calls his home the new heavens and the new earth. But we're going to have to live without spot and blameless. So, will you go with us? If you're living a little shoddy of a life, will you go with us? Will you make sure we get spotless and blameless? Will you take care of this so that you can go with us? Yes. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time in Revelations. Revelation 7. 9 through 17. After this I beheld, John is having a vision, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and all, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped him, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. What was he seeing here? He was seeing what it was going to look like in heaven with all those that were gathered around him. all the angels, all the people that chose God for their lives, lived those spotless, blameless lives. They're all gathered there. And he's getting a vision of it. And they're all worshiping, and they're saying, what wisdom and what glory and what blessings and honor. Oh, we're so thankful. So thankful that we cast aside this piddly earth and all of its pleasures and all of it, the things that the earth goes after. And instead, we sought that heavenly kingdom because here they are. And they're worshiping and they're so thankful to be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The 13th verse says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulations, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, they're the ones that came out of great tribulations. Do you think he means just the martyrs? No, he's talking about you and me.
Yeah.
And the great tribulations that we face here in this earth every day.
Yeah.
The ones that try to draw us back, and the things that try to destroy us mentally and physically. All of those things, the things that are against us, the bad times and the discouragements and all those things, they come through great tribulation to get here. They didn't count this country their country. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger here. I'm not going to set down deep roots. I'm not going to make this earth my home. Because when this earth melts and is gone, where am I going to live? Where am I going to live? Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Oh, we get this picture, and at the beginning it looks like, oh, they serve him day and night, and they're worshiping him, and they're down on their face, and everything. And then it says, then it goes to the other side, and it says, and God will dwell among them. You can't be among somebody sitting up high on a throne to where you can't even, they can't reach you and you can't touch them. Oh no, he's going to be right with us.
Wow, thank the Lord.
See, he's going to be right there. He's not going to be a far off figure to look at. And to just see from way over here, and look, I would go way over there, and I can barely see his throne, and there he sits. Oh no, he's going to be among us. He is a spiritual being. He is not hindered by having to sit on a throne like a king would have to sit before his subjects. He's not hindered by that. He is a spirit. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Oh, you know how we like our air conditioning. Right? Oh, we hate to be out in the heat. We don't like to sweat. There won't be any of that there.
Yeah.
See, it'll be the perfect temperature. And the best thing about it, is that it'll be perfect for all of us. You know how it's not perfect down here? You know, it's either too cold for this one or too hot for that one. And in your own house, you can't even get it. You know, one goes by and turns the thermostat up, one goes by and turns it down.
Yep.
But up there, it won't be like that. It'll be perfect for everyone.
Amen.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, how many tears have you cried here? How many times have you been disappointed and brought to tears? How many sad things have you heard that brought you to tears? How many of those things, how many tears have you cried and mourned over the lost loved ones? That won't happen anymore. That won't happen anymore.
Thank
There are going to be lost loved ones. It is going to be a place of eternal bliss.
Yeah.
Will you go with us? So I plan to get there.
Yeah.
And I know there's a whole lot in here that plan to get there.
Yeah.
They plan to come. They plan to get here. They plan to get there and be a part of what all of that is.
Lord.
It said, in the sea. Oh, I already moved it. Revelations 20. Moving on. Revelations 20, 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, no. There's another city. There's another city. There's another place. And it says forever and ever. Those souls are going to live on. See, the soul that God created in us is never going to die. But those souls are going to live on. And it says that the devil, the false prophet, all that was wrong, all those that were wrong, are going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. People don't want to believe this. People don't want to believe it. They make jokes out of it.
Uh-huh.
They say, all my friends are going there. So, you know, I have to be there too.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, oh, you know, so-and-so, he went there. And, you know, I'm going to go there. We're gonna kick up a storm down there.
Uh-huh.
They make jokes about it.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because they can't face the reality of it. So they have to make a joke.
Right.
They have to make a joke. I heard some of those jokes at a funeral once. I heard it at a funeral. Sad. They had no illusions that they were going to a heavenly place. But they said, you know, they were kicking up a party down there and they were going to go join them. Never heard such a thing. That's how deceptive all of this around us is. We think this is the reality of the thing. This is just temporary. It's just a tent. It's just a tent. Nobody wants to live in a tent forever. I don't know about you, but I like going camping. And I like being in a tent for about 5-7 days. And I'm done. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to get back to my comfortable bed. I want all of the sand out from under my feet and in my bed. I want to get clean, really clean. I want to cook inside where there's no bugs. This is just temporary.
Yes.
It's like a camping trip. You got to go home someday.
Yes.
Where are you going to go? Will you go with us? Will you go with us to the heavenly city? Will you go there and live on forever in the things that are needful and right? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In other words, they're destroyed now. They're all gone. All of that's gone. All that temporary stuff is gone. Now it's just the souls. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know what the books are, right? The Bible. That's our guide. That's what we have to live by.
Yeah.
Why would he judge us out of some books that we know nothing about? No. It's available everywhere. It's in almost every language. It's almost every country. It's everywhere. And it's set on shelves. It's the most purchased book in the world.
Right.
We'll be judged out of it. And most people don't even pick it up and read it. They don't even want to know. But they're going to be judged on it that day. And they aren't going to be able to say, but wait a minute, I didn't know. They won't even be able to say that. You know why? Because as they stand there, they're going to say, oh, there was one of those in my house. There was one on the shelf. There was one my grandma used to try to give to me all the time, and I wouldn't take it. Or there was that one that my great aunt so-and-so gave it to me, and I lost it somewhere in all of my movies. I don't know where it went. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. It won't matter if there's not a physically decaying body in the ground, because obviously all people that lived before us, they have deteriorated back to dust. They're going to be there. There have been those that have been lost at sea, eaten by sharks, by other fish. They're coming here. Why? Because the soul doesn't die. It's only the outer body that dies. The tent, the tabernacle, it dies. That soul goes to a waiting place, and there's only two waiting places.
Yeah.
You can wait in paradise, like when Jesus told that thief on the cross, today, thou will be with me in paradise.
Yes.
That's the first place, see, that you go. Uh-huh. Or you're going to be in hell, which is a waiting place.
Oh,
it says, and death and hell were cast. They were judged, every man, according to their works. So they weren't, it wasn't hearsay. It was what they did. It was how they lived. It was what they thought was important. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The problem is that you don't die there. It's a living death. It says the devil and all of them would be tormented day and night. That, it's a living place. It's a real place for the spiritual soul. No, not your physical body. It won't be this body. Your soul, your spiritual soul will be tormented in the lake of fire, the second death. Revelations 21:1-8. These are all visions that the Lord gave John to write down for us, that we would get a vision of what, how important it is to do something about our life here.
Yes.
To do something before it's too late.
Yes.
Revelations 21:1-8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Ah, there it is. He saw the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is just a way of saying heaven. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New Jerusalem. It includes all of us. It's all of God's kingdom. It's all of his people. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's going to be with us. He's going to dwell with us. We're going to God's house. We're going to God's heaven. We're going to his city. We're going where the spirit of a loving God lives. That's where we're going to live. Will you go with us? Will you go with us? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain.
Wow.
For the former things are passed away. All of those things are gone. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm going to give it to him freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, there's a but. There's a lot of things in this earth and things that are happening. People talk about things and then they say, but there's a but. Here's the but. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, warmongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful, the unbelieving, those that do not believe, you have to change your life and live right to make it to heaven. The unbelieving. They're going to find their place. They're going to live in what they chose. They're going to live it. But will you go with us? Will you go with us? Because we're convinced we're going to this other place. We're convinced we're going to this city. We're going to this place where we're not going to have any of these things anymore. There's not going to be any fear. There's not going to be anything coming against us anymore. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be happiness. True happiness. Glory. Peace. Revelations 22. 1 through 7. And then we're going to read a couple of other verses further down in the chapter. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb. He's trying to give us a vision of what this city looks like, of what the Lord is trying to help him to see what the glories of it can be. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is God's home. Oh, we look at it and we say, will there be trees there? Will there be a river there? Will there be this there? Will there be that there? God gave John a vision. This is what he wanted him to think about and see. It is going to be wonderful and pleasant and good there. It is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. What that looks like with God may not be exactly what we see here, but it'll have similar things. It will have similar things. He patterned everything that he created after things he already knew.
Yeah.
It says, and there shall be no more curse. Oh, you know what curse is. The curse is. The curse is sin. The curse is sin. And the death that was made for the punishment for sin. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Remember what it says in the New Testament about they'll be written in our foreheads. The scriptures, remember? It talks about it being written in our foreheads. Oh, there's a lot of people talk about 666 in the forehead, and this in the forehead, and that in the forehead. When it talks about writing something in the forehead, it's about what you're receiving in your mind is what's written on your forehead. What you're receiving in your mind. So what they're receiving in their mind here is they see his face and his name is written on their foreheads. That's what's in their mind. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and there shall reign forever and ever.
Yeah.
And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Oh, he left us a record of what's going to happen. He's told us several different ways, told us about it, what it's going to look like, what's going to be there, what isn't going to be there. He's told us all. He's told us what we have to do to get there. And he's told us what, if we don't do any of the things that we should, he told us where we're going to live forever. In the 7th verse it says, I come, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The 12th verse, 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be. Whatever your works are here, this temporary tabernacle, this place that's hard to live in, if you don't make the effort to live it for God, if you don't let him clean you up, if you don't let him purify you and save you and sanctify you and get you ready for heaven, then you will not have the eternal life in the right place. You're still going to have eternal life. It's not going away. But you won't have it where God is. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. 17th verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. See, we're the bride. We say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. In other words, heareth here means heedeth. He that's really heeding, they say, come. And let him that is athirst come. If you really want it, you can have it. Just come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You can have this freely.
Yes.
You can have it freely. You just have to give up the tent. See, you have to give up this world, this temporary place. You just have to give this up. This doesn't mean anything. This is a short little pebble. In the scheme of things, your soul is going to live on and on and on and on. And the 20th verse. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. Lots of people say, I'm ready to go. But I know some across, some people I know personally, that are praying for the Lord to come quickly. Why are they doing that? Because of the condition of the world. This next generation of children are not going to have the same advantages we had of knowing truth. What is the difference between evil and right? Everything is being turned upside down in our society and all over the world right now. It's all being turned upside down. And they're saying good is evil and evil is good. And so the children coming up in this generation are not going to have the same advantages we had. So there are those that are praying, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Some say, well, but I don't know if I can pray that because you know, my children aren't in yet. They're grown and they have, don't you know God has already talked to them?
Yeah.
Over and over and over. Of course we want all of our children to come in. Of course we want them saved.
Right.
But it's their choice.
Uh-huh.
They get to choose. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You can choose heaven or hell. You can choose. You get to choose. It's not like a reigning monarch that says, I don't like what you've done, so you're going to live in this dungeon forever. No, he's acting like a monarch that sits there and says, all right, you've done bad things, but I'm going to let you choose. You can either change your life and go here, or you can go right on living like this, and I'm throwing you in the dungeon. Will you go with us? Will you go with us to heaven? We have a song in our songbook. I'd like to sing that. 435. Will you go with us to heaven? Will you go with us? We're going. We've made up our minds. We're not turning back. We're not giving in. We are looking for the new city. We've given up our temporary residence here. We've laid aside all that's been important in this world. We've laid it aside and said, no, I'm striving for what's there.
Yeah.
I'm going to live in that city.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how we do? I'm going to live in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd like to live in that house. We have a choice. We can live in the most magnificent city ever that has ever been. With all of the privileges of the owner of the city. We get everything he has. We don't get slighted in any way. We don't get pushed off in the corner. We're just as important as a person over here. All the same. We get everything.
Uh-huh.
And we get to choose. Will you go with us?
Amen.